You're now tuned in to Inside Sports with Cody and Mike.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Mike. And once again, we're here with another edition of Inside Sports with Cody and Mike. It is Friday, November 14th, 2014. What's going on, Cody?
What's going on, Mike? We have another sports-filled show for y'all here today. I'm going to go ahead and start it off with some headlines outside of the sports world. Starting off, we have Patrick Willis is out for the year with a toe injury. That's a pretty big hit for San Francisco, especially their defense. But they actually get linebacker Alden Smith back this week from suspension.
Big.
It's huge. We have quarterback Ryan Mallett named the starter this week for the Houston Texans against the Cleveland Browns. We'll see, you know, what he can do. You know, he backed up Tom Brady for the last 2 or 3 years, so I know that he's learned some things. We'll see what he can do for the Houston Texans.
Definitely.
We have the college basketball season starting tonight. We have some games that have ended. Number 4, Duke beats Presbyterian 113-44. Crazy. Number 7, Florida defeats William & Mary 68-45. And we have UConn, the defending national champions, defeat Bryant 66-33. And finally, we have some pretty big news out of Major League Baseball. Giancarlo Stanton, the outfielder for the Miami Marlins, is on the verge of signing a 13-year, $325 million deal.
Does he deserve that, in your opinion?
Nobody deserves that. Honestly, that's ridiculous. That's huge money really in any sport.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, let's go ahead and keep it in Miami, but let's transition to football. That game last night, the Buffalo Bills versus the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, I picked Miami to win. They won. I don't know how convincing they were last night, to be honest with you. Of course, Miami's done pretty good this year. Ryan Tannehill went 26-34 for 240 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 picks. Lamar Miller had an average game, pretty much, 86 yards, no touchdowns. What did you get out that game the most?
You know, good football teams find ways to win. It's that simple. I think the score before we went into the fourth quarter, it was 9-3. Or something like that. But, you know, obviously Miami turned it on in the fourth quarter. You know, Tannehill had a good game. You know, 26-34, as you said. The 2 touchdowns. He did have 1 costly turnover in the red zone.
He did.
Early on in the game. But Miami battled back. And let's not forget, Buffalo is a good team. Their defense is stacked. Mario Williams had a good game last night. He had a couple sacks. You know, the big thing I took away from this game, though, was, you know, Miami is looking for real. You know, I'm not saying, you know, AFC contenders as far as, you know, making it into the Super Bowl, but they have a good shot at making the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, they really do. And as everybody that tuned into our last show, I did have Miami making the playoffs at the 6th seed, finishing the year at 9-7. Not quite sure how far they're going to go in the AFC, but making the playoffs is a huge step for them.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, Buffalo, Kyle Orton went 22-39, 193 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Their running game just couldn't get started. You know, you had Anthony Dixon, he had 10 rushing attempts for 35 yards. His long was a 7-yard run. You know, as a team, Buffalo had, you know, a little over 50 yards rushing. That's not going to cut it in the NFL.
Absolutely not. Now, my question to you is, do you think Buffalo will, you know, we said that they've been playing good. Do you think that their season's pretty much over now?
I mean, sitting at 5-5 in the AFC, it's looking pretty bleak.
Yeah, especially especially in that division. I don't think they have a shot winning that division, especially with New England.
And Miami.
Yeah, true.
I think it's over for Buffalo, but, you know, it's nothing to hang their heads on. You know, nobody really had Buffalo winning that many games this year. So, I mean, Buffalo could you know, turn out 7-8 wins this year, which is definitely an improvement from last year. I think they're like, they're one more piece away, I would say, on offense to really do. I mean, you have Sammy Watkins, a wide receiver, which he's going to be a great player in the NFL, a dynamic wide receiver. I think
they need a running back.
They do.
Because you got C.J. Spiller, you got Fred Jackson, but they're always hurt.
They do.
They're always hurt.
I wouldn't say that they would draft a running back in the first round with the draft coming up. Maybe second, third round. But I think that Buffalo, like I said, they're one or two pieces away from really contending in the AFC.
I agree. Now, as you started off the show, you said Ryan Mallett was named the starter for the Houston Texans. So let's go ahead and jump into that. New era begins with Ryan Mallett. How long would this era last?
It all honestly depends on what he does.
Of course. I mean, you've been high on him. Do you think that he can lead this Texans team? I mean, of course, I don't see them making the playoffs this year. But do you think that he can lead them to at least an 8-8 season?
Oh, definitely, he can. I mean, Ryan Mallett, like I said in the beginning of the show, he's been behind Tom Brady. So it kind of reminds me of when Aaron Rodgers was behind Brett Favre in Green Bay. He learned a lot of things. Aaron Rodgers stepped in. He's doing his thing now.
Absolutely.
Ryan Mallett, he slid in the draft when he got drafted about 4 or 5 years ago. He slid to, I want to say, the third round. And a lot of that had to do with off-the-field issues. Okay, so I think that the draft experts know that he has the potential. But, he just had to clean himself up off the field. And, I mean, the pieces that Houston has for Ryan Mallett, I mean, I don't see why not. They have a good running game.
Of course.
They have, a good wide receiver in Andre Johnson. They have an up-and-coming receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. So, and their defense is great. So, I can see Ryan Mallett, getting 4, maybe 5 wins for the Houston Texans. Now, they're not going to make the playoffs, but...
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I definitely think that Ryan Mallett can lead this team to at least an 8-8 season. Arian Foster has to stay healthy.
Definitely.
My question to you, since let's stay on the Texans, what is next for Andre Johnson, who used to be the number one wide receiver before Calvin Johnson?
Definitely. He's getting late into his career. That's for sure. I definitely think that he wants to win a Super Bowl like everybody does.
Will he finish his career in Houston?
I can't see it happening, man. And it's almost like when we talked about Larry Fitzgerald last show. The loyalty is there, but that need to win a Super Bowl, I think, as you get later on into your career, definitely takes over. And I definitely think Andre Johnson, he goes to another team. Because, reports came out before the season started about him possibly being unhappy in Houston, possibly getting traded. So I don't see him staying in Houston for his whole career. He's definitely going to be looking for a contender in the offseason, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is out of Houston after this year. Now, let's jump into some college basketball, man. College basketball season tips off tonight. I want to know who's your top 5 right now in your eyes, and I want you to pick the national championship game and the winner.
Okay. Well, right now, my top 5, I have Kentucky at 1. I have Arizona at 2. At 3, I have the Duke Blue Devils. 4, Louisville. And number 5, Florida.
Okay. That top 5.
It's almost like the top 5 in basketball. They change, but then again, they don't change. Duke is always there. Yeah. Florida is always there. Louisville is always there. So it's going to be definitely a great college basketball season. But, things get crazy when the March Madness hits.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So,
I mean, anybody can win. So give me your national championship game.
Championship game, I have Louisville and Arizona playing for the championship, and I have actually Louisville winning it. I like Rick Pitino. I like the way he coaches his teams. He doesn't always get the best recruiting classes, but at the same time, he knows what to do with the pieces he gets.
He's definitely one of the best coaches in college basketball. One of the best coaches to ever coach, I believe. Now I'm gonna go ahead with my top 5.
Fine.
Well, actually, no. You know what? Give me a sleeper team this year. Wichita State was a sleeper team last year.
Yeah.
The year before that, they played pretty good.
Yeah,
but they went off last year.
Right.
So I want to know who is your sleeper team this year.
You talked before the show and you asked me, am I a believer in Wichita State? I mean, I think they're gonna make the NCAA tournament, but they lost a lot of pieces this year. well, last year, they lost a lot of pieces, so I don't think that they go far. But my surprise team, it might not come as a surprise because they're ranked at 12 right now, but Villanova.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Villanova, they seem to always make it into like that Elite Eight. They just can't close the deal. I think this is a team to watch out for, definitely to make the Final Four.
I got you, man.
So let me hear your top five.
All right, my top five, number one, Kentucky. Number two, the Florida Gators. Number three, Duke Blue Devils. Number four, Louisville Cardinals. And number five, this might be biased, the UVA Cavaliers.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that's a stretch. But last year, they had a good, strong season. Of course, they lost Joe Harris and Mitchell down low. So we're going to see if they can still survive by losing those two seniors last year. But I'm really looking forward to UVA basketball. You know, the years past, they haven't been as strong, especially in a tough conference in the ACC.
Definitely.
So we'll definitely see, man.
So who's your national championship game?
Kentucky versus Florida.
And, wow, I like that. Two SEC teams.
And I'm going to go with Kentucky to win it.
I mean, they have a great recruiting class, that's for sure.
They had all rookies pretty much, all freshmen last year. I believe all five starters were freshmen. And they had a pretty good season last year.
They did.
So I definitely think this Kentucky team is, I wouldn't say overall mature, but they're maturing.
Definitely.
They're definitely learning how to play together. So I believe all five starters are back.
Julius Randle.
Oh, of course.
He went to LA.
Course,
I think that's going to be a big loss for them, but at the same time, Calipari knows how to coach.
And I think Julius Randle was my MVP or Rookie of the Year, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's not happening now.
Yeah.
It happens, though. So yeah, who's your surprise team?
I was going to go with San Diego State. You know, we were talking about our surprise teams before, but I'm going to go with Ohio State.
Okay.
I think this team, just like you said with your pick, who'd you pick again?
I picked Villanova.
Villanova, exactly. Villanova is always in there.
Yeah.
I feel like they're always around that 8-9 area, especially. And I think Ohio State can definitely bounce into that top 10, even top 5 this year.
They can.
But you got to remember, all you got to do is make the dance.
That's it.
That's all you got to do.
And that's the thing. You know, we're not sitting here saying that we are college basketball gurus because, like I said to you before the show started, it's a lot of teams that we don't hear about until the tournament starts.
And March Madness and NCAA basketball is one of my favorite things to watch.
Definitely.
Because, you know, in NFL, especially lately, any team can win. You know, compared to past years where teams dominated all the time, you don't really see that much.
Right.
You know, pretty much every team is vulnerable at times. But in college basketball,
anything can happen.
I remember middle school when Eric Manner played for the VCU Rams, they knocked off Duke in the first round. That was awesome. I definitely remember that.
Even about three or four years ago, when VCU made it all the way to the Final Four, you know, I mean, that was huge.
We're from around here, or you know, VCU is about 20-minute drive from where we are right now. For those of y'all that don't know. And it just brings everybody together. Like, I've always wanted to live in a sports town. And here in Richmond, Virginia, we really, our sports team is VCU.
It is.
Is the VCU Rams. So, and we saw the reaction when they went to the Final Four. It was crazy.
But, you know, the thing that I love about college basketball, and it's so different from college football, is, I mean, you know, you might hear in college football of, you know, some smaller schools making the top 25.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in college basketball, I mean, you had the schools out of the Atlantic 10, you know, out of the MEAC, you know, stuff like that. You had them in the top 25. Like, VCU's ranked, I think, 15th starting the season. You know, I mean, that's huge.
Definitely.
I'm very excited about college basketball to see how everything plays out.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely.
Now, big week, huge week. Final week in NASCAR.
It definitely is.
You know, we're heading down to Homestead for the Ford EcoBoost 400. It's going to be 267 laps around the mile-and-a-half racetrack at Homestead. It's for it all. It's for it all. The four remaining drivers are Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and Ryan Newman. The qualifying, it stopped about an hour and a half ago. Jeff Gordon won the pole. At starting second is Kurt Busch, Matt Kenseth third, Brad Keselowski fourth, and Kevin Harvick fifth. So Kevin Harvick has the best starting spot out of the four drivers remaining. Denny Hamlin qualified eighth, Joey Logano ninth, and Ryan Newman 21st. That, I mean, you know, I understand anything can happen in a race, but
it's a long race. I think Ryan Newman finishes in the top 10.
But at the same time, this is the last race of the season. You're in the top four. You're expecting.
Agree. No, I definitely agree with you, but let's be honest. He's been consistent for the year.
He has.
But he's kind of mediocre. I don't want to throw shots at Newman like that, but I'm being honest. He's a mediocre driver. He's a Daytona 500 winner.
Definitely.
Took it from my boy Stewart. I definitely remember that. But he's no more than mediocre and average to me.
Well,
now, we saw what he did to get in this chase.
I loved it.
Absolutely, and I think there's going to be more of that, not just from him, but even people that aren't in the chase.
Yeah.
I think this race is going to be a statement race for somebody that's not in the chase.
The just the craziest thing, though, which I like, we've said plenty of shows, but what NASCAR has done for this chase, this last race is basically whoever crosses the finish line first out of these last four, they win the championship. So you're going to see a lot of strategies being played in this last race of the season. I'm very excited for it now.
Now, go ahead. Give me your race winner right now.
My race winner, and I swear I'm not being biased, my race winner is Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's qualified. He's starting 11th Sunday. The reason I picked him is because, for some of y'all that don't know, his crew chief, Steve Letarte, this is his last race with Dale Jr. Steve Letarte is moving from on top of the pit box to NBC next year to help them out with the how NBC acquired the racing rights for
Absolutely.
The last 20 races of the season next year. So,
do you think you gonna like NBC calling those last few races?
I love it. Okay. I love it. I couldn't stand TNT doing it. And
yeah,
I mean,
agree.
ESPN is a great television station.
It is.
But you can tell that they care more about, like, you know, NFL or NBA.
Definitely.
So
I think NBC is going to be great.
They are.
I love Sunday Night Football. I know that's a totally different sport, but NBC,
they're
no matter
up,
what
man.
Sport it is, tends to work around pretty much the same.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. So who do you have winning the race?
Denny Hamlin.
Wow.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it now. Denny Hamlin will be this year's NASCAR champion.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And it might be a little biased because he's home. He's our hometown person. But I'm going to break this down to you. To me, Denny Hamlin, over the past 5 or 6 years, has been one of the best drivers.
Yeah.
Now, consistently, too. Because he came into NASCAR 2006, okay? And besides the... He's made the chase every single year besides the year that he missed some races for getting injured.
Right.
So I think Denny Hamlin is a great driver. I think that he will pull it off. I mean, this is the first time that he's, I believe, has been in contention coming down to the last race to win the race.
Right.
To win the championship. And I think he gets it done.
Well,
I do.
Well, I mean, that's not a bad pick because actually last year, the last race of the season at Homestead, Denny Hamlin won.
Okay.
So, I mean, clearly
right.
He has a lot of experience at this track. He knows how to get around the track. I mean, that's a good pick. It's hard to bet against this guy who I think is going to win the championship. And it kind of, I don't, whatever. Kevin Harvick wins the championship. I think, you know, this guy, he's been driving great.
Yeah,
you know,
he has.
And the thing about Kevin Harvick, and it looks like he has missed it now. I know middle of the season and early on in the season, it was always something going on. Like, it was always a cut tire or, you know, somebody getting into him. But it seems like he's overcome all of that, and I think that he puts it together this week. I say he probably finishes second or third, and I think that he wins the championship.
All right. Now, I would love to see Harvick win it also because, as you know, I'm a Stewart fan.
Right.
And Kevin Harvick is on Stewart Haas Racing. I think after the year Tony Stewart has had, this will be great for him as an owner to get his, I believe he's been an owner now for 5 years, 5 or 6 years.
Something like that.
And, you know, of course, he won his first championship, his second year of owning the team. And this will be his second championship as an owner.
Right.
If Kevin Harvick pulls this off. So I think that would be good for him. But more importantly, big for Kevin Harvick. Because he's always been a great driver, whether you like him or not. I think he deserves it, especially after the consistency of a year that he has had.
But, you know, the thing that I'm loving at how this chase is coming down is, for some of y'all that don't know, Ryan Newman, he was a race car driver for Stewart Haas Racing last year.
He definitely was.
And Stewart said that, you know, he was just going to have three teams and Harvick was going to come into that position. Well, you know, a couple months before the season started, they signed Kurt Busch. So they expanded to a four-car team. But to see Ryan Newman, an old driver from Stewart Haas, in contention to win this, I just think it's kind of somewhat bittersweet, if you would.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's going to be exciting, though.
And, of course, a lot of the NASCAR drivers, besides Keselowski, are great friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Stewart would be happy for Newman if he wanted.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So,
and that's another reason why I think, you know, he doesn't have a great qualifying spot, but I think Newman, he kind of wants to stick it to Tony Stewart.
I agree. And my thing to you is, if Ryan Newman wins this race, does NASCAR go back and change the race format? Do you have to win a race next year to win the championship?
I think that they're going to put more emphasis on winning, definitely.
Do you like the way that the points reset after every round?
I do.
Because, you know, back then, you know, once the chase started, it goes off of points from there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like how it resets. It gives you a chance to catch your breath, and nobody really runs away with it. You know what I mean?
It's literally like, you know, a playoff system. You know, it's like, you know, a team in football. They make the wild card round. If they score 28 points, it's not like they have 28 points starting the next week.
Yeah.
It resets,
exactly.
You know? So I like what NASCAR is doing, but I think that if Ryan Newman were to somehow win this championship and he doesn't have a win at all, they put a stronger emphasis on wins, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, man. So it's definitely going to be a great race. You going to be at the house Sunday?
Nah, I'll probably be at my house. But I'm going to be tuned in, that's for sure.
Oh, I'll definitely be tuned in too, man. Now, on to some more straight up depressing. Something depressing.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Go ahead and start it off.
Philadelphia 76ers. All right. You know, when we talked about NBA the last couple shows, you know, we've talked about the strong teams. We talked about Cleveland. We talked about Chicago, Dallas, San Antonio. But the Philadelphia 76ers last night, it was really one of the worst games I've ever seen. At halftime, they were losing to the Dallas Mavericks 73-29. Okay, they scored 10 points in the first quarter. You know, they're a young team, and they have a lot of potential, but, oh my gosh, this is just horrible, man.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and start off by saying that I wrote it down here, and I'll read it right off of here. 76ers are trash. Okay? I don't know what it is, because they got talent on this team.
They do, but
Michael Carter-Williams, Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel, and Tony Roten. Them players right there, you should be able to dominate. I don't want to go that far to say dominate, because of course most of them are in their first or second year. But you got great young talent, and you're trying to destroy this team, because before the draft, they were trying to get rid of Michael Carter-Williams.
Exactly. Wasn't he Rookie of the Year?
Yes. So I don't understand what this Philadelphia 76ers owner is doing with this team. I mean, because you got to remember, they had Andre Iguodala and Drew Holiday, got rid of them. I just don't understand what's going on with this 76ers team. Now, they're 0-8 right now. They are currently tied at halftime. Yes, tied at halftime with the Rockets. They'll probably catch an L losing by 30 points, even though they're tied at halftime. But maybe they'll pull this one out tonight. We'll see.
But you know, the crazy thing, and I say this to you before the show, the final score in that game last night against Dallas was 123-70. So the Mavericks won by 53 points. Now, the Mavericks scored 73 at halftime. So the game was over at halftime. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. As you were saying, you know, they have pieces, but I think they're missing – that veteran guy, though. That guy that's been in the league for like 7 or 8 years that knows the ins and outs of the NBA.
The only thing I don't like about the NBA or even the NFL, if a team is garbage or trash, you don't really get those top free agents. You basically bank on the NBA draft. Yeah. And let's be honest, what you got, 2 or 3 rounds or 4 rounds in the NBA draft?
Two.
Oh, shit. Well, so I'm off. So you got 2 rounds in the NBA draft. Say about 15 players, okay? And those 2 rounds play more than 5 years.
Right.
I believe that's what they said on Mike and Mike, I believe, or yeah, NBA Cap, right. Something like that. So you're basically banking on that draft if you're a garbage team, because who wants to come to a city that doesn't play?
Yeah.
Last time the Philadelphia 76ers were relevant,
Iverson,
and they drafted him. So basically, you're gonna have to pull out a wild one in the draft.
But I mean, you know, the thing is though. The drafts have gotten weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, I mean, it's going to be hard to find another draft like with LeBron and Melo and Dwayne Wade, you know.
Of course, LeBron came out of high school. He was a talent that nobody could deny.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, these college kids are not staying in college to develop their game.
They're not.
Coming out freshman year.
And that's kind of why the NCAA has, you know, they're trying to institute a rule to where, like, you know, you can only come out, like, after your second or third year, yeah. You know.
And I think that's great, to be honest with you.
It is. So.
It is beneficial to the players.
Definitely.
Whether they realize that or not.
Now, my question to you. Do the 76ers, I mean, I understand the draft is based off of a lottery with the 14 teams, but do the 76ers get the first overall pick again this year?
No. They will. Well, you know they didn't have it last year.
Well, yeah, I know.
Top
three?
No, they'll get four.
Four?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, like I said, like you said, the draft isn't as strong as it used to be. These players aren't as strong as they used to be. Because the Philadelphia 76ers had 2 picks in the top 10, 3 picks in the first round, 0-8.
But, I mean, you know, at the same time, you can't really sit there and say, like, oh, well, they're 0-8 and they had 3 first-round picks. You know.
I mean, I understand, but, of course, Philly had to draw number 3. And, of course, before, you know, Joel Embiid was supposed to be the number 1 overall. But, of course, he got hurt,
yep.
And he dropped to 3rd. Imagine if we drew the 1st or 2nd and could have got Jabari or Wiggins.
Jabari would have been a great fit for y'all.
That would have been either of those.
I would have tried to pull off some kind of trade. I'm serious. If I was Philadelphia, I mean, Embiid, I think he's going to be good. But, you know, him being hurt, yeah. You know, you really don't know how good he's going to be. And going into the season, you know he's not going to be healthy for the season to start. So
it's definitely frustrating to be a 76ers fan, man.
I think the Sixers get the first overall pick.
Okay.
And I honestly hate to say this, man, but I think the 76ers finished 19-63.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm not arguing that. Now, it sucks, man, because Philadelphia Eagles, they're relevant. Okay. Right. The Phillies, they've kind of gone downhill the past few years. But they, in the past, you know, 6 or 7 years, I believe 2008, they had a World Series.
Right.
Okay, the Flyers, you know, they're relevant. So, this is my only really team that's not relevant.
I'm sorry to say this, but for real, the 76ers remind me of a college basketball team right now.
To be honest with everybody right now, I honestly think Kentucky could beat the Philadelphia 76ers. That's not funny. I'm being dead serious. Cody's over here laughing, guys.
Oh,
but I really want y'all to let that sink in. I believe the Kentucky Wildcats could beat the Philadelphia 76ers.
But you want to know the crazy thing, though? The 76ers.
To be honest with you, I honestly think the Thomasdale High School Knights beat the Philadelphia.
You're getting outrageous.
But yeah.
The crazy thing, the 76ers are at 0-8, but the Lakers are at 1-7.
Yeah, so they're definitely not getting that 7th overall. I mean, I'm sorry, 7th seed, like I said they were.
8.
I said, oh, I'm sorry, 8. Yeah, tonight's not my night.
It's all good, man. But, you know,
it was that Sixers loss.
That's what it was.
That's horrible. Now, this, before we jump into our next subject, We're going to go into college football next, but this was not on our docket, and I meant to put it on here, on our lineup. We're going to get into this real quick. Dez Bryant for the Dallas Cowboys.
Throw up the X.
Throw up that X in Philly next year. You can come on.
It's not happening.
All right. So, Dez Bryant, you know, came out, and there's been a lot of reports over the past few weeks. Whether the Dallas Cowboys would sign him back or not, saying that he has a lot of off-the-field issues that they are still concerned about. I believe since he's been drafted, or since he had that, big trouble off the field with his mom.
Yeah.
The police have responded to his house 6 or 7 times, Ian Rappaport reported. Nothing big, of course, or it would have been in the media, but the Dallas police have responded to his house at least 6 or 7 times since that incident. And the Dallas Cowboys know this. So they offered him a pretty good deal. I forgot how much it was. I thought it was a good, great deal, but he denied it. Of course,
he wants Calvin Johnson money.
He does. And it was below Calvin Johnson money. And but that, it was still great money.
I mean, I understand that, but at the same time, you know, you don't have that many players like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady or anybody like that they will take less money to make the team better.
I know.
And, you know, I think Dez eventually could be that guy, but can you blame him for wanting Calvin Johnson money? Because, I mean, he's right there.
He really is, and to be honest with you, he definitely deserves that money, I believe. And I'm not a Cowboys fan. You know that. Right. You're not a Cowboys fan. But let's be honest. He's top five.
I would say it's an 80% chance he stays.
Okay. Now, who stays? Who has the best chance to stay? Dez or DeMarco?
Well, you know, and I've had talks with plenty of people. And it's actually one guy that comes into my work almost every day. He's a huge Cowboys fan. And we talk about this constantly. And I agree with him. He thinks that one of two things are going to happen.
Okay.
They lock up DeMarco and they franchise Dez so they can at least keep him for next year.
Yes.
Or he says that they lock Dez up and they sign Adrian Peterson. I mean, because Peterson has said that he wants to play in Dallas. He grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan, and with all the off-the-field trouble that Peterson has been going through the last couple months, they could probably get him at a decent price.
Now, I agree with you. I do fear that AP will come to Dallas, to be honest with you. Now, what would you do if you were in this situation?
You got to lock Dez up, man. I'm serious. You have to, because
do you give him the contract or do you franchise tag him?
I would try to lock him up. Honestly, I mean,
I agree with you, because he said he would be quote unquote pissed if they use the franchise tag on him, because
most players are,
because he would make less money.
Exactly,
make less money.
I think that'd be a slap in his face.
And I think if that happens, they're not going to get a deal done.
Not happening.
He will leave Dallas if they franchise tag him. I honestly do believe that.
Now, can you imagine? Just say, for instance, the Cowboys miss the playoffs this year. Okay. They franchise Dez, and then they go like 6-10 next year.
Oh, I know.
Dez is not going to stay, man.
If Dez leaves the Dallas Cowboys, what team do you see picking him up?
Man, you know, Dez, of course, I think he's going to want to go to a team where he's definitely the number one receiver. That's for sure.
I got a team in mind.
But, you know, if I had to pick one, I think he's going to want to go to a team with a decent quarterback. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me to see him. Man, I don't know, man. That's kind of tough, actually.
I see Dez Bryant, if he leaves Dallas, I see Dez Bryant going to the New England Patriots. I finally see Bill Belichick spending money and giving talent to Tom Brady.
That's going to be a lot of money.
It's going to be a lot of money. But who are the Patriots putting all their money on? Because let's be honest, Tom Brady took a pay cut.
Yeah.
I think his last pay cut was for Chad Ochocinco,
yep,
I believe.
See how that worked out.
Exactly.
So I'm saying,
You know, Chad had a lot of problems, you know, attitude problems. So, and, you know, Bill Belichick don't play when it comes to that. But I think he took a chance on Chad. You know, he behaved while he was there. Didn't get much playing time. But I think he will take a chance on Dez if Dez stays clean and stays out of trouble.
All right, let me throw this one out there for you then. What about the Carolina Panthers? Kelvin Benjamin, yeah, up and coming receiver. But can you imagine? I mean, really, who are they spending their money on other than Cam and Luke Kuechly? Nobody. You know, and
but let me ask you this: Marshawn Lynch leaves Seattle. Can you see Pete Carroll going after Dez?
I mean, I can see him trying to go after him, but I don't think Dez goes to Seattle. That just doesn't look like a fit.
Because you remember Seattle was on the list for maybe a Larry Fitzgerald trade and an Andre Johnson trade. Of course, I think Larry Fitzgerald, right quarterback, he's up there with Dez.
Oh, yeah.
So, you don't think Seattle?
And
you don't think New England?
I can see New England over Seattle. And, I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
I mean, because like you said, New England's not spending their money on anybody, really. That'd be a great fit. Dez would be great New England.
If you're New England, who do you go after? AP or Dez? Do you give Tom Brady that weapon to throw the ball, or do you give finally give the New England Patriots a running
game? See, that's kind
of
like a loaded question.
It is.
And the reason I say that is because Tom Brady, he puts up great numbers with whoever's his wide receivers.
I agree with you.
So I kind of feel like they would maybe lean towards more of a better running game.
So do you see Bill Belichick, being that Tom Brady is getting older, not saying that his game will decline because he's definitely a Hall of Famer, great player, do you think he would lean towards a better running game or a weapon for that great elite quarterback?
I say Belichick goes after Marshawn Lynch.
Ooh.
I'm serious. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right there. Can you imagine Marshawn Lynch in New England? Yeah, exactly. You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Is it bad I can actually see that happening?
I'm not even joking, man. So, but as far as Dez goes, man, like I said, 80% chance that he stays in Dallas. But
I'll go 65%.
65.
65 because what's getting me is what Dez is saying out of his own mouth. I feel like he feels like he is being disrespected already.
Yeah.
And number two, he got a new agent. You know, his
Rock, wasn't it?
Yeah, and his previous agent dealt a lot with the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, before we get off this, let me rephrase what I said about the 80%. It's a 100% chance Dez stays after this year because if they don't get a deal, he's getting franchised.
Oh, that's for sure. I definitely agree.
But after next year.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt you. If he gets franchise tagged, do you see him pulling a DeSean Jackson and having a bum season? Or do you see him?
I think that he will probably be so motivated if he got franchise tagged. Mm-hmm. Because I think that it'd be in his head, like, they franchised me. I didn't want that. They didn't want to give me the money. So let me ball out this year and tell them bye.
I got you now.
Come to New York. Need you.
Now, question for you again. Hometown kid. He's from Texas.
Yeah.
It's always a dream to play for your hometown team.
He's not going to Houston.
No. Do you honestly think that he wants to be a Dallas Cowboy for the rest of his life?
I think, honestly, most kids grow up wanting to be a Cowboy. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, they are called America's Team. That's probably the first football team you hear of, honestly, as a kid.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I think that, growing up and being on the Cowboys now, he wants to be a Cowboy player. But, at the same time, he wants to get paid, too.
I definitely agree with you, man. That's going to be something big on the offseason to see what the Dallas Cowboys actually do with Dez and DeMarco, how they handle that whole situation. But we're going to go ahead and jump into the NCAA football games coming up this weekend.
Man, we got a great slate.
Go ahead, read them off, man. Let's get into this.
We got number 19, Clemson, at number 22, Georgia Tech. We have number 8, Ohio State, at number 25, Minnesota. Number 16, Nebraska, at number 20, Wisconsin. Number 9, Auburn, at number 15, Georgia, and the game of all games, number 1, Mississippi State, at number 5, Alabama.
Can't wait. Now I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. Number 19, Clemson, at 22, Georgia Tech, score, winner.
41-27, 34-23, Clemson.
All right, I have Clemson winning also 34-23. You sure you don't look at my stuff before we
do this? I had
my
stuff written down at like 5:30 today.
And you saw me write my stuff down.
Dude, get...
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 8, Ohio State versus Minnesota.
I think this is going to be a closer game than what people think. I think people think, you know, Ohio State coming off that win against Michigan State, you know, that they're going to blow out Minnesota. I have Ohio State pulling it off, though, 38-34.
I have Ohio State also pulling it off, 41-20.
Oh, wow.
Number 16, Nebraska versus number 20, Wisconsin. Who do you have?
Close game as well. Could be a field goal as time expires for the win, but I have Wisconsin upsetting Nebraska 31-30.
I also have number 20 Wisconsin upsetting number 16 Nebraska field goal game 24-21.
Wow.
Wisconsin.
Okay.
Number 9 Auburn against number 15 Georgia Bulldogs.
Georgia has been playing really good, but you know, that loss to Florida where they got blown out, it still sticks in my mind. And Auburn's offense is loaded. I think Auburn wins this game 41-27.
I'm going with the Bulldogs on this one. Another field goal game, 34-31.
Wow.
The game of the week. Number 1 Mississippi State versus number 5 Alabama.
I wanted to pick this game like somewhat low scoring. I mean, because I thought the Alabama LSU game last week was going to be high scoring, it wasn't.
I agree.
But I think it turns into a high-scoring game. Alabama beats number 1 Mississippi State 37-24.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alabama is a different team at home.
Definitely.
Which a lot of college teams are. But this Alabama team struggles on the road. They struggled against LSU. I'm going to go with number 1 Mississippi State beating Alabama on their home turf 41-34.
Close game.
Oh.
Close game. All no, SEC yeah. games are, though.
Definitely.
I like that, though.
Now, we talked about this. In your eyes, would you drop, if you were on the committee, would you, if Mississippi State loses to Alabama, do you drop Mississippi State out of the top four?
Like I said before the show started, I think it's a chance Mississippi State does drop out of number 4, but they don't go any farther than 5.
What would you do if you were on that committee?
If I'm on the committee, I mean, you know, Mississippi State has great wins. They have great wins against LSU, you know, against Auburn, you know. So they've shown that they should be there. And even if you lose to Alabama, it's still a tough game. I wouldn't drop them out. Honestly, they shouldn't drop any lower than 3rd.
If Mississippi State drops to 5 and wins out, do they get in?
Oh, yeah, they get in.
Okay. Now that's going to wrap up the NCAA college football games
before,
this weekend.
Hold on, before we do that, though,
uh-huh.
Looking at the schedule, I do have an upset, though. Okay?
Okay.
I have an upset. I know I'm just throwing that in there right now, but
that's fine.
I think Maryland upsets Michigan State. Yes, Maryland upsets Michigan Ooh. State this week by the score of maybe 31-27.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
You kind of threw this one out at me, so I'm just reviewing the games now. I like that.
Going out on a limb there, you know.
That's a big limb to go out
it
on.
It is. Hope it holds up.
All right. I'm going to go ahead. My upset pick will be Arkansas over LSU. Number 17, LSU wow. will lose to Arkansas. Remember, Alabama struggled against Arkansas at home. So, we'll definitely see how this game pulls out. But, yeah, that's my upset pick.
And okay.
And I don't mean to throw another one in there, but if I did, Miami could upset FSU.
They could. Really could. We'll see, though.
So, we'll definitely see with that. Now, we're going to go ahead and get into the NFL.
Fantasy time.
Give me your 2 stardoms this week and your 2 sit-ems.
Okay. 2 stardoms. My number 1 stardom is Mark Ingram. Okay. The New Orleans Saints take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Ingram, the last 4 or 5 games, this guy has revived his career, if you would say. You know, he's really doing good. I see him getting about 24 carries for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Can you see him staying healthy for the year?
I mean, that's another question.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Who's your other stardom?
My other stardom, I told you this before the show started, and you kind of looked at me crazy, but this isn't a biased pick. Odell Beckham. This guy last week against Richard Sherman, I think 8 receptions for 107 yards. This guy's the real deal, okay? I think he goes for about 8 catches, 135 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
That's not – I don't know how I gave you that look, but I don't blame you for that. I mean, you gave me a look because I thought I think Odell Beckham's better than Victor Cruz.
Yeah, it's too early on in his career to say that, but – he could be.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Now, who's your two sit-ems?
Two sit-ems and Alex Smith.
Okay.
Quarterback Kansas City. They play Seattle this week. You know, we'll get into it in predictions. I don't have Kansas City winning, but I think Jamaal Charles stands a better chance at scoring for Kansas City than what Alex Smith does. And before the show, you know, me and you were talking about Kansas City and talking about how no receiver on that team has a touchdown.
That's crazy.
You know, the tight ends do, you know, the running backs do in the passing game as well, but no wide receiver. They rank last in receptions, last in yards, last in touchdowns.
It's crazy. If I would have told you that, would you think that that team would be 6-3 if I
not
told
at all.
Exactly.
Not at all. That sounds like a 4-5, you know, 3-6 possibly. But
I definitely agree with you.
Now, my second sit-em, Brandon Marshall. They go up against the Minnesota Vikings this week. But I don't know, man. You know, Brandon Marshall's a great wide receiver. But at the same time, you know, Jay Cutler has to get him the ball. And we know you put some pressure on Cutler, he's lobbing it up.
Absolutely.
I can't see it.
Is Jay Cutler done in Chicago?
He is.
Okay.
what about you? Who's your two stardoms?
First one will be a man that plays on Sunday night. Rob Gronkowski.
I thought you were going to say Andrew Luck.
Rob Gronkowski.
All right.
Luck. If you got Luck, start him. He'll get you some points.
Darn right.
Gronk, though, he will have 2 touchdowns over 100 yards receiving.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Alfred Morris for my second.
Wow, I like that.
I think that they're going to hand the ball off a lot to him. Oh, yeah. And I think the Washington Redskins, I think they're pretty much going to demolish Tampa Bay. I do. We'll get into that in predictions. But I think Alfred Morris has two rushing touchdowns, 1 catching.
Wow.
3 touchdowns. I really do.
That's huge for fantasy. That's
I really
sure.
do. So if you have him, start him.
I don't.
I don't.
Who'd you send him?
AJ Green. I have him getting a touchdown, but I have him shut down pretty much the whole game.
So it could be just like a red zone touchdown,
yeah.
Like a 5-yarder fade.
Yeah, I really do.
Got you.
I really do. I think this New Orleans defense isn't top notch, but I think they'll play AJ Green pretty good this.
Oh yeah,
pretty good this.
They're
going to
make somebody else beat him. That's for sure.
And he wasn't in my stardoms, but like you, what did you just say? Somebody else? So if you have him, start him. Mohamed Sanu, start him. I'm telling you. Go ahead. Why are you giving me that look?
I don't know, man. Sanu's disappointed me, man. He really has. I thought when AJ Green was hurt for those couple games, I thought Sanu was going to step in and really, really take over. Which, I mean, he had some decent games, but...
Start Sanu. All right, we'll see. Telling you.
I mean, well, you need a quarterback to throw to him. Exactly.
Wow.
Andy Dalton struggling. Wow. So anyway, wow. Who's your second?
Cam Newton.
Cam.
Sick Cam Newton. Struggling. You know, the coach came out and said he's 100% healthy, pretty much, saying that he is not injured. Cam came out saying otherwise. I believe the player.
Duh.
Cam is injured. We both saw that game against the Eagles. Had no acceleration. Couldn't scramble out of the pocket. What the hell? And that offensive line is horrible. Horrible. I see Cam Newton getting sacked another 8-9 times this week.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Well, I don't know 8-9. They're going against the Falcons. Falcons defense isn't that good. But, hey, you never know. You never know.
I don't know.
Their offensive line isn't that good either, though. So
ridiculous. So, it's your favorite time, my favorite time.
Predictions.
Let's get into it, baby. Minnesota and Chicago, who you got?
Chi-Town. They finally, you know, pull off a win, which seems like their first of the year, 27-17.
I'm going Teddy Bridgewater. Two gloves. You know how he likes to rock those two gloves. Does. I'm going Teddy Bridgewater in the Minnesota Vikings 27-20.
Okay.
Houston at Cleveland. Who you got?
Mallet time, baby. I think the Houston Texans
beat
the Cleveland. Now, you know, before I give you who I think, well, I told you he's going to win the score. We've seen Cleveland. I believe in Cleveland, but at the same time, they're inconsistent as well. They put it together, then they don't. So I think the Texans win 24-13.
Cleveland wins 28-17. They keep it up. Now, on to Seattle, man, and Kansas City. Seattle travels to Kansas City, and they're going to get a taste of their own medicine. It's, I believe Kansas City is the second toughest place to play in this NFL
league.
They are.
They're very loud, just like in Seattle.
And to be honest with you, I still believe that they hold the record. They took it back from Seattle for being the loudest
they did.
Crowd in the NFL. So who you got in this game?
I think Seattle, you know, even though their crowd isn't loud when they're on offense, they're still somewhat used to playing something like that. Somewhat of a close game. I think Seattle pulls it off 31-23.
I think Seattle also pulls it off 31-20. Now, Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. Who you got?
As we said, Cam's not healthy, man.
He's not.
Cam's not healthy, you know, and the Falcons have weapons. It's just they just can't put it together, but I think they put it together this week. Falcons win by a field goal, 30-27.
I think Falcons also win by a field goal, but the score is a lot lower, 17-14.
Okay.
Cincinnati and New Orleans. Now, they travel to New Orleans, so they'll play in that tough environment. What do you have?
New Orleans. I mean, really, there's no other place to go. Honestly, you know, New Orleans coming off a loss to San Francisco, which is a lot of controversy with that game as well. They put it on the Bengals, 35-21. Drew Brees throws three touchdowns.
I agree. I think Jimmy Graham has two of those touchdowns.
Okay.
I think Ingram will have a rushing touchdown also. Now, I have the score 38-28, 10-point game. Tampa Bay at Washington, who do you have?
I know you said when you were talking about Alfred Morris, you said that you think that the Redskins would dominate this game.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going back and forth on this game. I have Washington pulling it off, but, you know, possible overtime. I have the Redskins winning 20-17.
Okay. I have the Washington Redskins, like I said, pretty much dominating this game, 31-17.
Wow.
Denver at the Rams.
I honestly wanted to say start the Broncos defense. Honestly.
I will.
I'm serious. I think the Broncos defense probably gets you close to 20 points this week against St. Louis. I think they win 38-16.
I also think the Denver Broncos will score 38 points. The score will be 38-13.
Get out of my head.
San Francisco at your New York Giants.
I'm not being biased with this.
Here we go.
Rashad Jennings is back this week. Finally get a running game.
And?
Giants win 27-23.
Giants will lose this game 31-24. Close game, though.
Close game.
Oakland at San Diego.
I wanted to pick the Raiders, man. Because the last time they played, it came down to the final minutes.
Oh, it definitely did.
But I had to go with San Diego. You know, they've been struggling as of late, but I think they turn it around against Oakland 28-20.
San Diego wins 34-21. Detroit and Arizona, top two teams in the NFC. What's your mindset for this game?
If Carson Palmer was playing, I say Arizona makes it a little closer than what I have, and possibly would win it, but that Detroit Lions defense is going to be all over Drew Stanton. Man.
I agree.
All over him. So I had Detroit winning this game 27-17.
Now, I don't want you to laugh at this because it's kind of a big gap, but I just think this Lions defense, I think they are the number one defense in this NFL.
Definitely top
right
three.
Now. I have Detroit winning this game 37-24.
Okay.
I really do. I think Detroit will definitely pull it off. Now, Philadelphia at Green Bay. I know you got Green Bay, so go ahead and tell
me. I do. High scoring game, though. I have Green Bay winning 42-34.
I was going with Green Bay at first. I really was. But the last few times, last year we beat Green Bay, of course Aaron Rodgers was not playing, but the last time that we played Aaron Rodgers was in the playoffs, We lost by a field goal, I believe, or 4 points, something like that. And the time before that, we played them in the regular season. That's when Mike Vick started, came in for the injured Kevin Cobb, and played lights out. But we still lost the game, I believe, by 3 points again. So I believe that we can beat this Green Bay team. Like you said, Miami beat them. Of course, every week is different.
It is.
But
Miami didn't beat Green Bay.
They almost did. Almost, yeah. Almost. They almost beat Green Bay. Of course, Aaron Rodgers pulled that Dan Marino. But I have the Philadelphia Eagles winning 34-31.
Okay.
New England and the Indianapolis Colts, Sunday Night Football.
I'm telling you. The Colts, they have three losses, but their three losses came to the Denver Broncos, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, I think that they're tired of people thinking that they can't beat playoff teams. And I think that this is the game where Andrew Luck shows Tom Brady what the next generation looks like. I have the Colts beating the Patriots 38-34.
You smoking, son. You smoking. You are smoking. You are on that stuff, all right? This league is still Tom Brady's league, all right? Yeah, give me that look. Give me that look, all right? Because we just talked about this. Tom Brady's doing it with zero weapons.
Yeah.
Zero, all right? New England Patriots will win this game 34-28.
Okay, at least you're showing some respect to Andrew Luck.
I didn't say Andrew Luck was bad.
I'm just saying.
You're going up against Tom Brady, though. Peyton Manning knows how that feels.
So does Eli.
Wow. Okay. Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh goes to Tennessee. Who do you have?
Can somebody please explain to me how Tennessee is on Monday Night Football? Please. Please. I don't get it, but whatever. 28-20 Pittsburgh. I almost wanted to pick Tennessee, though, because, you know, Pittsburgh, they... Sometimes they don't show
up. Yeah, well, 27-17 Pitt. Now, that will conclude this podcast show. Once again, we'd like to thank for everybody for the support. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, follow us.
At Inside Sports CM on all three. So, once again, thanks for the support. Hope y'all have a great weekend, safe weekend, football weekend, NASCAR weekend. Y'all enjoy the college football season. College basketball season as it kicks off. I'm Mike.
I'm Cody.
And we will see you this Monday.
All right, y'all.